I'd like us this morning to think about threefold possessions. Think for a moment of possessions that you have. Think for a moment that you have to leave your home in a very short period of time, and you can only take three of your possessions with you. What would you take? So I'm not going to ask you to share aloud, but just to think for a moment, what would you take if you only had a few moments to pick up three possessions to take with you? Possessions are very, very important. Certainly in my work with the probation service and backed up by research, people who have suffered burglaries will tell you that they're not particularly worried about the television or the microwave or the music centre or something of that sort. That can be replaced through insurance. It's the very personal items, the photos, handmade cards at birthdays or Christmas from children or grandchildren. Little articles that have been made and given that are irreplaceable. Perhaps many have experienced the loss of those very personal and precious items. This morning, through Peter's first letter, I'd like to share and remind us all of three, there are a lot more, but three spiritual possessions that we have in Jesus. Sometimes it's very easy to take things for granted, just as people perhaps don't take sufficient care of some of those very special personal possessions. Sometimes we forget or overlook all that we have in Jesus. So the first one that I want to suggest to you that we have as a spiritual possession comes from verse 3 in 1 Peter 1. And it's a living hope, a living hope. I've come across some Christians who find the word hope not very helpful. Perhaps they think of it in terms of something that's wishy-washy or a fairy story or something that may happen, you know. I hope we'll have good weather tomorrow. I hope to go on holiday at some time. I hope we'll have a special birthday party for somebody. It's hope. We may or may not achieve that. And there are some Christians who are not certain of the hope that we have in Jesus. And this is what Peter reminds us of. He says, our living hope is not in wishful thinking and fairy stories, but in the person of the risen, ascended, glorified Jesus. That's our hope that we have this morning. Our hope is in the person of Jesus, who took on flesh, came and lived among us, was eventually cruelly killed on that cross as a way of providing a reconciliation for us between our sinful selves and holy God, washed clean because of the blood shed at Calvary. But God raised him from the dead, and 40 days later he ascended to heaven, and he sits on the throne waiting for that moment when he will be allowed to return again, not as a babe, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for his coronation, for those who know and love him to spend eternity with him. That's the living hope that we have in Jesus. Because remind ourselves that when Jesus was talking to the disciples, warning them about his imminent death, he said, I go and prepare a place for you. And when that place is ready, I'll come and take you to be with me forever and ever. The promise that he gave to his disciples is the promise that you and I have this morning. We have a living hope in the person of Jesus Christ. There are many people that want to knock us and tell us that we're just, you know, simple-minded individuals that are trying to escape from the reality of the world today. But they don't know our Jesus. They don't know of the walk that you can have with him and share in life's journey and experience so many positive things and have that assurance that one day we're going to be with him forever and forever. Are you living in the certainty of that living hope today? Well, I'm not suggesting that you've dropped everything else and you're just waiting for the Lord either to take you home or to come again. But is your life reflecting the fact that you have that absolute certainty that you are saved, that Jesus has forgiven, or God has forgiven your sins through Jesus, and that he's preparing a place ready for you to be with him forever and ever? Is that our life an expression of the joy of knowing Jesus and in seeking to walk with him, following him, ready for that time? Or are we bogged down with all the pressures, all the stresses, all the doubts, all the despondencies of today, the fears and anxieties? And our eyes cast down instead of looking up to the one who has given us the living hope in Jesus Christ. I pray that everyone here this morning and on Zoom will have that absolute joy of knowing that one day we're going to be with him. It's not going to happen to everyone. That's the sad reality. But only those who know and love him, only those who have been washed clean in the precious blood of the Lamb, only those who have accepted him as Savior and Lord are going to experience the joy of being with him and experiencing that living hope, which the world wants to mock and ridicule, they're going to find an abhorrent situation when they realize that the door is shut. Go from me, for I never knew you. Instead of welcome, well done, good and faithful servants, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Friends, why do we spend so much time walking around looking as miserable as sin when we have the living hope in Jesus Christ? Why do we allow the devil to get so into us that we, do I have to get up? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do the other? When we have the assurance that Jesus loves us so much that he's even preparing a place that we can be with him forever and ever, our living hope. But if you want to turn to chapter 2 and verse 4, you'll see that Peter refers not only to a living hope, but a living stone. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. probably true that we tend to think of stone as simply lumps of material, useful for building houses and factories and churches. They're sturdy, they're reliable. Many of our roads today contain small stones because we're told that within the tarmac, that's the best longer-lasting mechanism for roads. We're also reminded that, of course, stones can be used to weigh down things so they don't blow away. So stones are extremely useful. So what's Peter getting at when he refers to Jesus as the living stone? Peter reminds us that the church was built upon the foundation of Jesus, the one who is reliable, the one who is strong, the one who is sturdy, the one who possesses all the qualities of a lump of stone, but a living person. One who is secure and immovable. One who is completely trustworthy, who won't let us down, provides us a solid and secure relationship. One on whom the church of Jesus Christ is built. Well, what does that mean for us today? After all, one of the accusations that the opponents want to throw at the church is that there are so many churches that are at loggerheads with one another, no point in us getting involved. When I read in Acts 4 of the early church and see the principles established there, and I would encourage you to read Acts 4 when you get home, we see a church that, yes, it had its differences. Yes, it had its disagreements, and there were times when people were unhappy with decisions, but they were trivial compared to that early church that was to experience the foundation laying of Jesus to take them into the future. We sang a few moments ago that the hymn writer puts it, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." So our faith is upon this living stone of Jesus Christ. Think for a moment, the early church met in that upper room, frightened, timid, worried about the authorities, until God gave the gift of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And there were great events, 3,000 added one day, 5,000 over a short period of time. But then came persecution. And the persecution came, and it's easy for us to say, "Oh, this is really dreadful." But what the persecution did was to distribute the gospel. And the gospel went out. And men and women and young people, in their thousands, came to know Jesus, the living stone. Remember that in those early days, many people will have seen or heard of Jesus in the past. So they knew the importance of that foundation. Friends, there are many people who want to allow Christianity to simply disappear into the history books. They forget that our Jesus is a living person that not only do we have that living hope in him, but we have the living stone. Our foundation is secure. It's not a fairy story. It's not a wimp. It's not escapism. Because it's based upon the person of Jesus, the only religious leader that doesn't have a grave, because he's alive today. What is our faith based? Is it based on mum and dad? Is it based upon church attendance? Is it based upon giving to charity? Is it based on living a good life? All those are fine. I'm not knocking them. But they're not, they won't bring salvation. Our faith has to be in the living stone of Jesus Christ. So we have a living hope and we have a living stone. I wonder how many of us would think of terms of those as special spiritual possessions that we have. But we've got one more left. If you turn back to 1 Peter 1:23 this time, you'll discover that in verse 23 we read, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." We have a living hope, we have a living stone, and we have a living word. The book that you have in your hands at this moment of time is the living word of God. The most precious book that you will ever, ever hold in your hand. Peter reminds us that this precious word is made of imperishable seed. In other words, it doesn't change. The writer says, all may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. You and I have the most important book that has ever been compiled to help us, to guide us, and direct us. It is the word of life. It is the word that people want to ignore. It's the word that people want to, well, pretend doesn't happen, or doesn't relate to them, or they dismiss it as being out of touch with today's society. Or they seek to cherry pick it in such a way as to make it fit to their ideology or their theology. But remember that God gave a very strict message to anyone who seeks to mess with the living word of God. He said it would be better if a millstone was tied round their neck and they were thrown into the deep sea. That's what happens when we try to live without the living word. Those of us who drive all had to pass a driving test where we had testing on the highway code, the book that instructs us as to how we should drive. And we ignore those instructions at our peril. God tells us this morning, we ignore his word at our peril. How much time do we spend reading God's word? How much time do we devote to meditating upon God's word. How many times do we read our Bible passage? Maybe you use a Bible reading aid, and you close your Bible and you put it down, and a few minutes later you wonder what you've read. Is that the way that we treat the living word of God? God inspired Paul in writing to Timothy to say that all scripture was God-breathed or inspired by God to help us. When we're facing problems and difficulties, to whom do we turn? Our family, friends, people we trust? Or do we turn to Jesus? When we're struggling with some of the issues that we're facing today, what do we do? Read Christian magazines? Great. Talk to one another? Great. But do we turn to the inspired word of God? The living word of God? The Bible isn't out of date. Folk are out of sync with the Bible because they don't like what it says. But it's the living word of God. It's the word that is given to us to help us as we seek to live for Jesus, as we seek to share the good news of Jesus. And it's not just by what we say, but it's what goes on in our minds. It's our actions and reactions in situations. And it all comes from being secure in the living person of Jesus Christ, our hope, our stone, our living word. I think those are three massively inspiring, uplifting, and encouraging possessions that we can hold on to today. And if we really, really appreciate those, I suggest to you that you're not going to walk out of this church this morning with your head down, taking short steps. Ooh, that's another service over and done with. But you'll open up your heart and your life that the Lord will fill you again with that reassurance of his amazing hope, his stone, his living word, that will take you into the rest of today and into this new week, determined that in his strength, as he provides, we can move forward confidently. You know, we can trust God in so many different ways. I'll share one thing very briefly. I've had a pretty poor week health-wise, particularly with a cough. And Elizabeth, my sister, would confirm that I often spend time coughing. And I prayed and prayed this week that when I came here, that I'd be able to get through a service without a coughing spree. Your testimony, your witnesses to God's provision. You say to me, "Oh, that's nothing." If we dismiss God's small things in our lives, we're going to miss the big things that he wants to give to us. Are we living in fear? Are we living in a situation where, well, I don't really want anyone else to know about my faith, because if I start sharing it, I'm likely to get it in the neck from people. They'll abuse me. Not necessarily physically, but certainly emotionally. They'll have a go at me and I won't be that popular. Friends, the early church wasn't popular. It was persecuted and went out to the utter parts of the world. And we're testimony that it came here to Scotland. And we hear the good news of Jesus Christ. just as today the church is growing more quickly in any other place than where the persecution is at its greatest. Why? Because people are seeing the evidence before them of the transformation that only Jesus Christ can be made. Friends, go from here this morning with this certainty of the living hope in Jesus Christ. One day to spend eternity with him. The living stone, the foundation is not based upon a story, a fairy story, an idea, or even some part of theology. It's based upon Jesus, the living Jesus Christ. And we have the living word. We have his message to us to enable us to walk with him and to bring glory and honor to his amazing name. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for reminding us this morning of these three amazing possessions that we have in you. Send us forth, Lord, encouraged, uplifted, and inspired, that we might be the people that you want us to be, bringing the good news of Jesus by our thinking, our actions and our words to those to whom you send us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to conclude with the hymn. Where is it? 862 in our mission praise. 862 is it's a great hymn. It's a hymn that in a sense came much to the fore through the Salvation Army and their brass band, because it goes with a real swing. But it's also the great words that we're going to go, not I'm going to go and do what I can. I'm going in the strength of the Lord to share the good news of Jesus. So let's rise and sing. I'll go in the strength of the Lord. Thank you. Yes, Lord, we thank you that we can go in the strength of the Lord. Send us forth from here, Lord, encouraged, inspired, and blessed in you. And may the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each one of us now and until Jesus comes or calls us home. Those at Zoom, thank you for joining with us. It's been great to have you with us. For those here in person, do make available the refreshments in the hall as we conclude the service. The Lord bless each one of you. As Cliff Burrows used to say, real good.